sermon series, we're continuing on. We started this last week, and we're calling it Becoming Human. And what we've been doing is we've been looking at our vision statement of SPC. So it seems to me at the start of the year, as we kind of start this new program year, it's always good to remind ourselves what we're about, right? And so our vision statement here is to be Christ-centered and mission-minded in a family. Christ-centered, mission-minded family. Hopefully you hear that throughout the church in a lot of different ways. The reason why I think that Becoming Human is a good title for this series is because, here's my contention, as we live this out, as we as a people and as individuals become more Christ-centered, as we as a people and individuals become more mission-minded, outwardly focused, as we become and build family bonds, we are actually becoming the people that God created us to be. Like we are living into our full humanity. And if we know anything about this world, people desperately want to live full human lives, do they not? We look in so many ways. We look in money and power and pleasure and fame and whatever else you can think of to find the full human experience. But what we believe as Christ followers is that when we're Christ-centered, when we're mission-minded, when we're family, we are becoming and living the full human life, and we have that to give to others. So today, we're going to pick up the second part of that vision statement, which is to be mission-minded. The word mission, literally in Latin, remember, means missio, means to send. And so, in other words, we're being sent-minded. Sent-minded, not S-E-E-N-T, but S-E-N-T, minded, right? Where our mindset is not about here, not about us, but that we are sent out into this world to be Christ's hands and feet. Our text today is from Luke chapter 19, and it's the story of Jesus and Zacchaeus, and in it we're going to see how Jesus, through his being sent and through his seeing someone like Zacchaeus, stands him up and sends him out to change the world of those around him. And so let's listen to God's word. This is Luke 19. Jesus, he entered Jericho and was passing through it. A man was there named Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was rich. He was trying to see who Jesus was, but on account of the crowd, he could not, because he was short in stature. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore tree to see him, because Jesus was going to pass that way. When Jesus came to the place, he looked up and said to him, "Zacchaeus, hurry and come down, for I must stay at your house today." So he hurried down and was happy to welcome him. All who saw it began to grumble and said, "He has gone to be the guest of one who is a sinner." Zacchaeus stood there and said to the Lord, "Look, half of my possessions, Lord, I will give to the poor. And if I have defrauded anyone of anything, I will pay back four times as much." Then Jesus said to him, "Today, salvation has come to this house, because he too is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek out and to save the lost." Amen. Let's pray. Lord, we do pray now that the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts would be pleasing and acceptable in your sight. You're our rock and you're our redeemer. We trust you today and we love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. All right. I'm going to put someone's picture on the screen. I want you to tell me who it is. Anybody? Hamilton. Alexander Hamilton, of course. Founding father. Promoter of the Constitution. First Secretary of the Treasury. Started the Coast Guard. Started the New York Post. All these amazing things. Apparently he wrote a musical. I mean, it's fantastic. All these incredible things from this one man that maybe now only recently is coming into light. What's incredible about him is not just, of course, his resolve and brilliance and all that, but the fact that he was not lost in history at all. The fact that he was not passed over and looked over, right? Think of all the ways that he could have been not seen. First of all, he was short. He was 5'7". Can you imagine Washington? Jefferson, 6'2". And here's Hamilton, 5'7". Short in stature. He was short in respect, right? Coming from the Caribbean, coming from a single mother, coming with no kind of landed gentry status. And yet, what's amazing is that even though it would have been so easy for him not to be seen, even in all his brilliance, he was seen. And who was he seen by? Washington, right? Washington, who made him his aide-de-camp, kind of brought him in as his right-hand man. And it's from that pedestal, from that posture, that Hamilton was able to start to stand up, if you will, and have history have its eyes on him as the musical, his musical, speaks. How easy it is for even brilliant people to be overlooked. But when they are not, when they are seen, the world and history changes. Our text today, we have Jesus. And what's a miracle about this is that he is a God who also, he is the Jesus who sees. And when he sees, he stands people up in history. The world is never the same. Let's look at the text that we just read before. This is from Luke 19. And it says, Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through it. Okay, let's stop there. Let's remind ourselves where we're at in the story of Jesus. This is Luke 19. At the end of Luke 19 is what we call the triumphal procession, right? That's the time when Jesus, remember, is going into Jerusalem and is hailed as Messiah, right? He rides on the donkey and everybody's, Hosanna, Hosanna, blessed is the King. That's the end of Luke 19. This is the beginning, right? So you think we're almost to what we call Holy Week, which explains to me why the text says Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through it. Jericho is about 12 miles from Jerusalem. He is on his way to that final week. So you would think, and you could understand why Jesus, right, might have a few things on his mind as he's going through Jericho. In fact, that's why it likely says he was just passing through it. If you all have done business travel, we might call this a travel day. Right? You might be going through some great towns, some great airports, but you're just there to go on to somewhere else. Right? It's almost better if you don't see anybody you know, because you're trying to get somewhere to actually get something done. This was Jesus' travel day, and he was, let's say, short on time. Literally, figuratively, he's short on time. He's just passing through. He's not staying there. He's just trying to get on through. Seems unlikely that he would see anybody and have any time to see anybody because of his short time. Jesus was short on time. But then we have Zacchaeus. Now let's think about him. He's also short. Short in being able to see Jesus. He wants to see Jesus. He's heard about him. And yet, think of all the ways that he, Zacchaeus, was going to be kept from that. First of all, he's short in stature. We can look at that verse. That's what Zacchaeus is known for, right? Zacchaeus was a wee little man, a wee little man was he. We learned in Sunday school growing up, right? So what does that mean? We don't know his stats, but we know he must have been at least a head shorter than everybody else. At least a head shorter. Why? Because as Jesus is passing through Jericho, the people are lying in the street, they're seeing him, and he can't see him. He can't see him. All right? He's short in stature. But that's not the only way Zacchaeus is short. In fact, this might be the more challenging one for him. He's short in respect. Look at the other parts of this verse. Man named Zacchaeus, he was a chief tax collector and was rich. This sentence itself is so funny. You know what Zacchaeus means? In Greek, it means pure one. Kind of a ironic name for a tax collector, wouldn't you think? Because remember what tax collectors did in Jesus' day. They collected taxes for Rome, right? So the oppressor, the one who owned them. So not only did he, a Jew, collect taxes for the oppressor, But remember what the tax collectors could do. They could charge basically kind of a surcharge on top of it for themselves, right? Think about it today, like gas stations, right? There's no regulations for how much gas stations can charge you for gas, as far as I know, right? They can charge you whatever they think they can get from you. And that's essentially what could happen with Zacchaeus and tax collectors. And not only that, was he was a chief tax collector, so he had people working for him. And so really the kicker was he was rich. And what does that mean? He was rich bilking his own people. So he might have been short in stature, but Zacchaeus' real challenge was he was short in respect. And so you can just imagine as Jesus is going down the road and people are lying in the streets and Zacchaeus comes up and wants to see, are they going to let him in? Not a chance. Not a chance. They don't care about him. In fact, they do not like him. In fact, I'm sure they're trying to keep him from something that he wants. Right? Short in stature. He's short in respect. But I think there's also something else that Zacchaeus is short of, and it's really about the culture he lives in. And that's this, that the culture he lived in was short in having people stand up and speak out. The culture he lived in was short in having people stand up and speak out. He was trying to see, but on account of the crowd, he could not. Think for a second of the stories of Jesus. Think about how many different stories, how many different people and people groups were shouted down for speaking out. Kelly mentioned it in our prayer of confession today. Think about it. Women, children, the invalid, the indigent, folks that the world says, for some reason, you are not as good as others. And when they try to cry out, when they try to say, Jesus, save me, heal me, they are shouted down and they are put down, right? Jesus, Zacchaeus, lived in a culture that was short on speaking out. And so not only is Jesus short on time, but we've got Zacchaeus who's short in stature and he's short in respect and he's short in a culture of speaking out. And all of that is stacked against him from seeing and becoming the human that God wants him to be. Let's think about us today in our culture. That is not far from the truth for us in our world, is it not? There are some in this world that I would say, in culture and people group, that are sort of short in proverbial stature for us, aren't we not? Think about it. We're in the United States of America. We are the best country in the world. We have the best GDP in the entire world by 6-7 percentage points. Can you imagine that same person in Eswatini, Swaziland? Can you imagine what it would be like for them to try to live into full stature in some ways of humanity? To have what they need? To be beyond just basic, rudimentary life support? Right? There are some people, maybe not us, but there are some people groups in this world that are short in stature compared to the rest of the world. There are other folks that are short on respect, and oftentimes not from themselves. Go to another part of the world. What about North Korea? Right, ruled by this dictator. People where the borders are closed and things like religion are squashed. And we have this horrible feeling towards their leader, and sometimes it ascends or descends upon the whole people, and we say, ugh, like, how can people live under that? And what does that look like? Right? Automatically, we're saying, where is the respect there for another person? There are people in this world, both there, even in our own country, that we might say are below on the respect level. And then you think of just the culture that we live in that still wants to tell people to sit down and shut up. I had a friend in Wisconsin who said that child raising was easy, or not so easy, but his way to describe it was, you know, the first 3 years of life, you're getting them to stand up and speak, and then the next 18 years is to sit down and shut up. I don't know if I agree with that, but I think that is sort of pervasive in our culture. Right? Think about Serena Williams this week at the U.S. Open, kind of ranting and raving, and what's the huge hullabaloo? That she was throwing a tantrum somehow or something. Whereas John McEnroe, 20 years ago, we just laughed, and it was a regular basis, right? There are still folks people groups, cultures that we want to say, you cannot do that. You cannot speak up. What was true in Jesus' day is still true today. And here's the real kicker. Not only is it out there, but oftentimes it's in here. Because sometimes we feel like we are the one who no one sees. Maybe through faults of our own, maybe not. But you and I often can feel like that same Zacchaeus. And then here's the worst part of it. We can be like those people who do not see the Zacchaeuses of the world. How many of us have gotten up in the morning, driven to work, driven to somewhere, and we got there and we turned off the car and we were like, oh my gosh, I don't even know how I got here. Right? We're so engrossed in the day or the thought, and we pass by dozens of miles, and we don't even know how we got there. And what's the real hard part is we don't even know all the people we passed. The sign guy, the stop slow sign guy. There's multiple of them in our community right now. The barista made our coffee. Maybe the homeless camp that we passed by. The people that driving the garbage, the people that do service for us, officers, others that keep this place going. And yet, how often do we just pass them by, never even seeing them, never even thinking about what it would mean for them to be seen and heard? It happened in Jesus' day. It happened to Zacchaeus. It happens to us. We even perpetrate it. But here's the good news of the gospel today. We have a God in Jesus Christ who sees us and who helps us to stand. And in so doing, he invites us to stand and to see. Look at what happens. This is so fantastic. Let's keep going in the passage. When Jesus comes to the place, remember he's short on time, passing through. But when he comes to the place where Zacchaeus is, who's gone up in a tree, imagine how embarrassing that was. I would guess he probably hid himself in the leaves a little bit because he wanted a peek of Jesus, but I can't imagine the ridicule he would face. And yet Jesus comes and he sees him. He looks up and he sees him. And what does he say? Come down here. I'm going to have lunch with you today. And he came down and was happy to welcome him. Right? So what does Jesus do? He says, I see you. Come down here and stand up. And then notice the next part of the passage. I love this. So what does Zacchaeus do? He says, welcome, Jesus. And then this is great. He says, Zacchaeus stood there. He stood up. Who knows if he'd even stood up in his society and been seen in any way but a ridiculed way. And yet he stands up and he says, look, Lord. Right? He points. He sees. Half my possessions, I'll give to the poor. I see them. I'm going to give back to them. And anyone I've defrauded, I will pay back four times as much, right? Anyone who I have taken from in my work and in my life, I see them. I want to ask for forgiveness for them, and I want to make restitution for them. So notice what Jesus does. Jesus sees this unseen person, has him stand up. What does Zacchaeus do? He stands up, and he sees somebody else, and he helps them stand up. He helps them stand up. Friends, I want to contend today, that is the essence of mission. That is the essence of mission. What does it mean for us to be mission-minded? It means, simply, that we see others and we help them to stand. We see others and we help them to stand. Now, we might say, mission, missionary, Africa, Asia, jungle. I'm not doing that, right? Because that's kind of our box for what missionaries are. And there are those. In fact, we have them in our church, people who have been missionaries in some pretty incredible places. But let me tell you, it's much simpler than that. For us to be mission-minded doesn't just mean that we write checks to others who are being mission-minded. It means we get to be the sent ones. The God who sends his son to us to help us see and to stand, that God sends us out to see and to help others to stand. I heard a great example of that this week, and it was from one of our elders, and where is he? Steve Range. Steve. Come on up. We were talking this week, and Steve told me a story about something that happened last Sunday on his way home from Costco. That's the mission field right there. And so I asked him if he might, for just a minute, share with us a little bit of his story.
Yeah, it's kind of a quick story. It's not that big of a thing. But we were coming back from Costco, and two cars ahead of us had some car trouble and kind of pulled over to the side. And car in front of me and me, we just went around them and went up the hill. And we kind of got home, and I said to Johanna, I said, you know, I just feel like I should go and check on that guy, see if they need anything. So grabbed a tow chain and threw it in the truck or the Land Cruiser and went down and checked on the guy. He was still there, and he was on the phone. Asked him if he needed some help. He said, well, I called AAA. And I go, well, are you sure? I don't mind. And he's like, well, it's a three-hour wait with AAA, plus you'd save me $100. So as we were hooking up the car or the tow chain to the car, I just mentioned, I had this feeling, this nudge. I felt like I was called to come down and say how you were doing or if you needed help. I don't know if you're Christian or where you're at. And he goes, oh, actually, we're Christians too. And he said, actually, we were just coming down, this is the cool part, to get a Bible for my son. Mm-hmm. So it's just God at work was just so cool because you can see it. So.
Awesome. Thanks, man.
Yep.
Thanks for telling us. Isn't that great? Driving up the hill, see someone in need, have this compulsion, go back, help out, say, hey, this is why I do this. And God shows up and responds in a myriad of ways. And friends, the same is true for you. And so as we go out into this world and into this day, I encourage you to think and pray in the power of the Spirit. Say, God, who do you need me to see today? And maybe it is the barista. And maybe it is the person who's helping you on the road. And maybe it's when you eat your meal saying, wow, thank you, God, for all the people who touched this to bring me to this day. How am I going to serve them and help them today? For what it means for us to be missional in this world is to see and to lift people up and help them to stand in their mind, in their body, in the spirit. And you and I, here in Sammamish, Washington, get to do that today. And so let us live in to being Christ-centered and mission-minded as the family of faith. Amen. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for this great day, and thank you for this great scripture. And thank you for what you did for Zacchaeus. And then consequently, as you stood him up and saw him, what he did for those around him. And now, in all honesty, history has its eyes on Zacchaeus because of your experience with him. And so, Lord, we know that you've had experiences with us. You've changed us and you've seen us. And so may we not go through any day of our entire lives without seeing others that you've put in our midst and helping them to stand. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.